Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up, everybody, and burn down, burn down. The system fails, the exit pulls. Wake up, the silence.
This is Alexander S. Brown, the host for tonight, and I know we normally don't do this on Tuesday nights, but this is going to be a special edition radio blog talk show. With me tonight, I have the most wonderful Stephen Zimmer, and for those of you who do not know who Stephen Zimmer is, you really should know who he is, because he not only is a publisher, but he is a fantastic author as well as filmmaker. And I want to bring him on tonight to shine a little light onto the Kickstarter that he has going so that perhaps his novel, Heart of a Lion, can be progressed into something a little bit more tantalizing for those who enjoy TV. So, Stephen, are you with me?
I am with you. I'm always with you, Alex, of course, and I appreciate the offer to, at last minute, invite me to be on a last-minute podcast. We certainly have had a fast amount of developments today, so, yeah, it's great to be able to talk about the project a little bit in these final hours as we close in on the goal line.
Yes, and the goal is very reachable at this point. Pretty much you are aiming to get $25,000, and we are at the moment approximately about $4,000 away from that. So we do still have quite a few hours left, but by about 11 a.m. Central Time tomorrow, this fundraiser is going to end. And so we really need to get that $4,000 in there so this can be possible for you and Seventh Star Press. Let me go on and just kind of give people a good idea of who you are, and you can put this in your own words of who you are. As a publisher, author, and filmmaker, what have you accomplished in your time of doing this?
Oh, wow. as far as accomplishments and what I've done, I mean, I definitely have, you know, done things in all spheres of like the film world. I've done things in the music world. I've done things, of course, in the writing and publishing field, and in the book world. I have 11 books out currently. As a filmmaker, I have done a feature. I have done several short films, a documentary. I've done a lot of commercial work and been around music videos. In the music world, I used to do some indie record label management kind of, and show promotion kind of stuff. So, you know, I've had a pretty comprehensive amount of experience in those kind of arenas. So, which makes it interesting for a project like this that kind of brings all different spheres together.
Okay. Well, just so we know what to expect from a consumer's perspective, as a consumer, why would I want to invest in this Kickstarter?
Well, because this will give a chance for something fresh and original to hit the screen. And by that, I mean something that is not just a reboot, not just a rehash, not just, okay, we're gonna do this thing that was done 20 years ago again kind of thing. It's definitely a new content thing that also has direct appeal to the stuff that is popular. I mean, there's no question that this appeals to the Game of Thrones kind of audience. It appeals to the, you know, Chronicles of Shannara kind of audience. It definitely appeals to all those kind of viewers. And the thing is that, you know, this is a demo TV pilot. You know, we do not yet have a full TV series. We want to showcase what we can do. And so, you know, so a consumer giving us that chance in this and investing in Kickstarter gives us a chance to showcase that and hopefully lead to the development of a full-blown TV series. And for them, you know, it'll be entertainment. It will be a very inspirational lead character, a heroine, a strong female character who I think is needed, especially with all the crap going on with all the controversy over the female leads and some of the other franchises. I think we need more, you know, like I said, to kind of end all the silliness and, you know, have a good representation of shows with female leads. And, you know, so I'm speaking of, you know, some of the recent controversies and complaints over the, you know, the Ghostbusters cast and, you know, the Rey in the Star Wars movie and all that. So, you know, I think there's definitely a need for a strong female protagonist as well. So, I think it covers it all for a consumer.
And I agree. I would love to see more strong female protagonists come into literature as well as movies. It's always been something that I've been fascinated by. And I think I have always admired the strength of females because pretty much I feel that females have always been underrated for how strong they can be, not only physically, but also emotionally. And so I really want to see this happen. Now,
and you hit it on the nail, and that's what I tell people. You know, if they read Heart of the Lion, they're going to see that as much as Raiden can swing the sword and axe, and she fights with two, she has a two-handed fighting style, absolute badass when it comes to the fighting. But I think her actual strength is in the inner components, the emotional components, the character components of her, the things that aren't necessarily, you know, swinging axes and swords. And you hit it right on the noggin with that. That's the key to this character, is the fact that her greatest strength is the interior strength, not necessarily the fact that she's a great fighter. And I think you just nailed it.
Okay, well, we just kind of answered a little bit in the next question, but we still have a lot to work with here. Now, you did explain what inspired your character. Now, what inspired the concept of the book? And also, kind of, what would the synopsis be of the book for people who might not be familiar with it? And also, this will be multiple questions in one. What can we expect from the film adaptation of this? Do you plan to stay true to the literature side, or do you plan to kind of broaden out for TV purposes more?
Good question, because some people have gotten a little bit confused on that with this project. Heart of a Lion is the first novel, and it's the first of a trilogy story arc that debuted Raiden, you know, in terms of starring her in her own, you know, full-blown novel kind of thing. And that story is a journey story. It's a story of her traveling back to her homelands after having a really big adventure deep in a real almost like a sub-Saharan African kind of setting. So, she's actually having to cross an ocean to get back home. And so it's very much an action-adventure journey-type story. And, along the way, you know, there's a rescue of a kid, which I'm not giving away too much. A lot of really cool stuff that develops that shows, you know, and the plot really enables to show her character. And so the book is that kind of story. Now, the pilot one that we're talking about, I do have a story for the pilot, and it is a story of Raiden leading a band of warriors after a large group of warriors that have kind of like taken away some female captives following a battle. And the battle that takes place in the beginning of the pilot, Raiden's side have started to win, so these other guys take off with the captives, and so they enter this really dangerous kind of hilly forest land, and so Raiden and her group have to pursue them deep into it, knowing that it's got all kinds of nasty stuff, and along the way they're going to encounter basically the Norse version of elves, not the friendly, cute, you know, elves, not the kind that, you know, the you know, graceful woodland elves of Lord of the Rings. I mean, these are very nasty creatures. And then there's also a draugr, which is a kind of a revenant, a Norse undead creature. And then they also encounter some witches. And so there's a lot of dangers that are even worse than the warriors that they're chasing after that are involved in this. So it's very much a wilderness action adventure kind of story. It definitely has a lot about, you know, will bring out a lot about Raiden's character, but it will also have a lot of really beautiful natural scenery. And that's one of the things I think is real cool, because we have just amazing scenery to take advantage of here in Kentucky. And so that's going to happen in this as well. And, yeah, it's going to have the dark edges. It's going to have, if you want to call it, almost like horror elements with some of the creature effects. We definitely are going to do makeup effects, and it's going to be a really nice thing. And, yeah, it's going to stay absolutely true to her character, but it actually is an original screenplay. And eventually we would like to adapt Heart of a Lion, but that would probably require a few million bucks to recreate the, you know, the full battle scenes and sea battles and all that stuff. But this one doesn't quite have that problem, because being a wilderness adventure, it, you know, we're not going to have to build cities. We're not going to have fleets of ships or armies of thousands. I mean, but we still will have something that looks extremely nice and hits hard, you know. And so that's what this one is.
Okay. Well, I think we know what kind of demographic this is going to cater to. It's going to go to the demographic who's interested in fantasy, sci-fi, horror, action. Also, the demographic who wants to see a liberating female character. Now, when I ask this, I mean more so in regards to age, because when I was a child, I remember watching the TV show Xena or Hercules, and I would be at a very young age with this, and I would watch it with my grandfather most of the time on the weekends. And even though it was a fantasy sort of show, it was very suitable for family viewing. Do you imagine this going to the demographic of all ages when it airs?
I do, to an extent. I mean, it's not... It will have some darker edges, and it will have some, you know, intense scenes, some intense graphics, things like that. I think, you know, I mean, this day and age, obviously some younger audiences do tune into those kind of things. And, but I think it will, to an extent, maybe not quite as all ages as maybe Xena was. I mean, this one is a little bit grittier and darker for sure. And we're not going to pull any punches on the, you know, like I said, what Raiden goes through. And but I do think it will, you know, obviously draw in, you know, like I said, a pretty broad audience range ultimately. And I don't think it'll be quite as dark as like some of the Game of Thrones stuff. I don't think it'll quite get into that territory. But yeah, it's not going to be as light as some of the Xena stuff. It's going to, I mean, there's definitely going to be a little more grit and dark edge to it than the Xena shows. And the character storylines are a little bit grittier too.
Okay. All right, so it'll be a happy medium in between Xena, Hercules, and Game of Thrones, but it won't be as intense as Game of Thrones, but it won't be as light as Xena or Hercules.
Yeah, I think that's almost that's pretty much a fair assessment.
All right, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's kind of start directing our focus on the Kickstarter itself, because you and I both know how time-consuming and how hard it is to publish, to write, to edit, and to simply produce from a literaturistic point of view. Now, for a lot of people out there, they have no idea what goes into a Kickstarter. They don't know the nitty-gritty of all the hard work and how time-consuming and how you practically have to cut yourself off from the world while staying connected to the world 100%. Tell us, what all goes into doing a Kickstarter?
Well, when we've done it, I mean, I've heard from so many people about how well we've presented this, and I'm not bragging, but, I mean, we have delivered content. I mean, we've had over 43 updates over a 42-day campaign, which we have not taken a day off in this entire process, and we've showcased individuals from the art side, from the production side, from the cast side, that we would build this project with, to give examples of types of individuals that we'd be working with, people cast side like John Wells, Dale Miller, Scott Nova, Katie Stewart, people like that, Vince Bingham, Nathan Day. On the crew side, we have some great people like Sven Granlund, who you will see his name on Deadpool because he did a lot of work in the makeup effects area for that movie, and the company he works with is oh man, I mean they got credits galore. I mean, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and Interstellar, all kinds of stuff. William D. Fink, you'll find his work in Star Trek New Voyages, great prop and model maker. I mean, we've had some great people that we've showcased, and we've had lots of features. We've talked about the locations. We've talked about what the vision is as far as what we want to do with this project and beyond. It's not just about Raiden, but it's also about opening up a new area for press and eventually developing visual media projects that are tied to other authors at Seven Star Press. So who knows, maybe like a Southern Haunts series of short films, or something like The Wide Game with Michael West feature film. Lots can be done, and you know, we go into that, and we also explain extensively about, you know, why we had to use crowdfunding, why, you know, it's not a proper channel to go to a traditional investor when you're dealing with a TV pilot demo, because you don't have a TV series yet, so you can't, you know, you can't make a projection exactly as to what, you know, what's going to happen. We've presented everything in this, and we've worked our tails off. I mean, I can tell you that day in, day out, Frank Hall, Eric Jude, Kylie Jude, and Kylie edited four great videos for us that are available on the Kickstarter page and that present the project. But Kylie, Eric, and Frank Hall have just been just like amazing. And then my publicist, Jennifer Malone Wright, has just dived in like gangbusters and been promoting the heck out of it. And so, you know, we don't have a very large team, but I tell you, I mean, we're daily. I mean, Eric and Frank and Jennifer and myself and all, I mean, we're active every single day in this campaign. I mean, we have not had a day off, and that's the way it goes, though. I mean, I never do things, you know, like I said, when I go out something, I want to go out at full throttle, so. But it's definitely a major project, and it's this has been a marathon. I mean, I'm a little tired here on day 42. need a day off, I think. So let's hope it's a day off under good circumstances tomorrow.
yes, let's hope that. And I'm gonna keep my eyes on it and keep blasting it for you on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. For those who want to start a Kickstarter of their own, how does it work? How does a person get into it? I mean, do you just simply decide, hey, I want to do this Kickstarter, I need to do this so I can further my career, I'm just going to log on to this website, post this, and get it going? Is it as simple as that, as starting one, or how do you go about that?
I mean, you can set one up. I mean, certainly, I mean, you know, that you can get one set up. But, I mean, you really, I think, I mean, to have a chance, I mean, I think you have to plan a good campaign. I think you have to have a plan, you know, like I said, to have content, to have updates, to have, you know, provide, you know, the right kinds of information. You know, you need to be able to promote the Kickstarter. And that's a whole nother game beyond that, you know, actually using, you know, your social media channels and everything else to promote the Kickstarter or the Indiegogo or whatever platform you're using. And, you know, then things like video and all certainly, you know, take it up another notch. And so, you've got multiple dimensions to a project like this. And, you know, I mean, certainly you can fling it up there. And a lot of people do, and then they wonder why they don't have any – any donations or anybody checking the project out, but the ones that do it well and tend to, you know, get amazingly funded. I mean, yeah, obviously, I mean, that you take a look at their campaigns and they're, you know, they're very, very sharp. And I'd like to think that we've done a darn good job, you know, in presenting our case, you know, and we're just not doing badly at all. I mean, but, you know, we'll just have to see if we can close it out.
Yeah. Well, you struck my interest in something else that you just said. You spoke about doing frequent posts just to, you know, keep the momentum going. What is a healthy time for posting? Like, what I mean by that is, in what quantity is healthy? Do you do it daily? Do you do it twice a day? How do you plan the amount of postings that you do?
I mean, we had so much to work with that, you know, we ended up doing some times where we would make two posts in a given day, and generally one a day. That was for us, and I think that's a really, you know, I mean, that, you're really hitting it hard when you do at least an update a day. I mean, certainly. I mean, I think it's fine if you do every other day or something like that, but I don't think you should let it go too long between updates, especially if you don't have celebrity power. I mean, because obviously any celebrity can slap their name on a project and you get a whole bunch of people who want to back it because of the celebrity. But if you don't have that advantage and you're, you know, a newer entity or an indie entity or something that's a little unfamiliar to mainstream audiences, I think you really do have to, you know, keep attention and keep things flowing. You don't want it to bog or stagnate. And I think that you at least should try to be at an every other day kind of pace if you're wanting to do it well. And that's just my personal opinion. I mean, I'm certain every crowdfunding organization has 100 different theories, but that's just mine.
Okay. Well, as we're discussing Kickstarter, why Kickstarter? Why not another crowdfunding source?
Because Kickstarter, first of all, they're the largest. They have a real strong legitimacy to them. They're very strict on lots of things and their rules and so forth. And then the fact that, you know, they are strict about the all or nothing thing, which is for us, you know, like I said, it gets given us some heart palpitations at this point, you know, because we, you know, it's all or nothing and we only have a little bit more to go. Whereas some other platforms, you know, you just get what you get. But I think that for us, what we wanted to do is make our main campaign a kind of a guarantee to the backer that if they pledge to us that the project doesn't go forward unless we get what we sought. And, you know, that's, you know, that we actually do get the project funding that we were after, you know, in order to proceed. And I think that that kind of, you know, commitment to the backer, I think, is the, you know, and then yeah, I think that's the reason that, you know, we chose Kickstarter, and then the fact that, you know, they are, you know, they definitely are the biggest, strongest crowdfunding platform. I'm not saying anything bad about the others. I think Indiegogo and several of the others are great. You know, certainly, you know, like I said, I've donated to other, you know, GoFundMe and Indiegogo campaigns. I've done it several times. But for us, you know, we wanted to present it as strongly and faithfully as possible, and I think for us that it was the right fit to be our key platform.
All right. As we're talking about reaching goals with Kickstarter, a lot of people who are unfamiliar with how project funding begins or how it ends, for that matter, a lot of people have questioned in regards to crowdfunding. Let's say you do not make your goal and that all and nothing, it goes away because the thing is you did not make that goal. For the person who has contributed money to the Kickstarter, where does the money go? Does it go back to them? Does it go to the Kickstarter website? I know it doesn't go to the person who started the Kickstarter, so what happens with the money that they pledged?
It is a pledge at the point until the campaign is over. It's actually a pledge where they, you know, they check, you know, whatever they do to check your credit card to make sure that, you know, you actually have a working one. They don't actually charge your credit card until the end of the campaign if the campaign is successful. So you won't even be charged on, you know, get see a real charge on your credit card until it's all said and done. And as far as, you know, the way the process works, it's just a pledge on the credit card up until the completion of the campaign. And then if we do not receive the full goal, then their credit cards will not be charged. And if we do hit the goal figure, then that point they would charge the credit cards of those who have pledged and collected at that point.
Okay. I know with the Kickstarter that you have many different options, and the lowest option for a person to contribute is no more than $5. Could you tell me why there's the $5 option and what benefit that has, and also if it pulls the Kickstarter higher up in the rankings for each time a person pledges something that low?
Oh, yes, and that's one of the big things I try to get across is that those $5 pledges help, $5, $10 pledges, they help. Because the whole, think of the word crowdfunding, that's what Kickstarter and the rest of them want to see. They don't want to see a small number of large pledges. They're what drives the excitement of Kickstarter and the way they've set their thing up is the idea of crowds participating. And so a $5 person is a backer every bit as much as a $5,000 person. I mean, the backer count is tabulated just from every single pledger. And as the number of backers grows, the greater the project, you know, gets kind of tabulated in popularity, the way it's perceived on Kickstarter as a popular campaign. I mean, there's a lot of different things, you know, raise a lot likelihood they might spotlight you. I mean, there's so many things that can happen that are good with a larger and larger group of backers. So the $5 backer actually helps in a big way. And I wish more people would understand that, because I think they think, oh, I'm not making much of a difference if I, you know, pledge $5, what can that do? No, in this kind of campaign, it really does make a difference. And I can tell you squarely, I appreciate each and every person that has done that for us. And in fact, our 100th backer was a $10 pledge. So, you know, like I said, you know, even major milestone mark points, you know, that help in these kind of campaigns are achieved by a smaller donation. So, I mean, so it's definitely not something at all that I ever take lightly. And I tell you, when I see a name that's, you know, taking the time to pledge $5, that means, you know, really means a lot to me. And that name is going on my warm and fuzzy list just as much as all the others, you know. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, most certainly.
Now, I've been keeping an eye on the Kickstarter as we have been speaking, and it seems that we have a few more contributors. So for those who have contributed while we have been on here speaking about Kickstarters and the creativity behind Heart of a Lion, we really do appreciate the contributions that you currently did. Now, with this, explain why it is so hard for independent works to receive the support carried instead of mainstream projects. It just seems like for independent to get anywhere in the world of mainstream and all of the regurgitations, the remakes, and same scenarios over and over and over, why is it so hard to get something new and fresh out there, such as what Heart of a Lion is, or, you know, just indie works in general?
Oh, yes. It's the whole thing of the risk versus the safe bet. And believe me, I mean, Hollywood, you know, is going to feel much easier about rebooting something or doing something based on the existing franchise or doing something that's a sequel because, you know, they've got it's kind of proven ground. It's proven commodity. It's safer. As far as releasing it as a commercial entity. With an indie project, there's danger. I mean, it's more of a risk element. It's something that, you know, you're taking a chance on it. I mean, it could blow up to be something huge, or it might fizz. I mean, but the fact that they don't have anything to kind of correlate it to, it doesn't tie to an existing franchise. It's not a reboot. It's not just a sequel. They don't have anything to tie it to, and so they're less likely to, like I said, give it a shot because they think it's more of a risky situation. And I think that's at the heart and center of why it's kind of an uphill battle for an indie type project.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how has social media helped with this, and what websites provided the most hits? Like, did you find the best response from Twitter? Was it Facebook? Which of those worked best with sharing?
I think that, like I said, we've had some popular Instagram posts. We've had some Facebook posts that have really gotten shared a bunch of times, and then we've had tweets that have been popular. It's hard to really pinpoint which ones really interest people, but I mean, I think that there's a real balance to them, and I think that there's a there's no one magic bullet when it comes to social media. I think it's picking the right group of tools and using them in concert, and I think that's what we've tried to do with this project is have it be a balance in terms of Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Facebook. So, but I think that as far as effectiveness, I'd give a little bit of a tilt to Facebook, just because of the fact that you have the event forums and the groups and things like that, where you do get to interact just a little bit more and with people, a little more discussion. Sometimes people private message you with questions. And so I think that that's, a little bit more effective. I think Facebook gets a little bit of a nod.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we have a call-in, so let's
finally
go on and yes, I know. Let's go on and transfer over, and we'll let this surprise guest just chime on in and ask whatever's on his mind. All right, I believe we have Eric Jude with us. Welcome, Eric.
Hey.
Hold on.
How's it going?
I got it. I have to do it. I believe the air defenses have picked up the bomber coming to town.
How are you tonight, Eric?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm just enjoying this nice, cool Kentucky night.
Yes, indeed. Not too bad down here in Mississippi either. So what brings you on tonight?
Well, I just wanted to call and I just ramble on about some things. You guys were talking about shares. I do know that one of the statistics for shares was on Facebook alone, this campaign had been posted over 1,200 individual times. That's about, so that's a lot.
Wow, that is something. That is amazing. And that covers the time span of the 42-day crowdfunding campaign, correct?
Yeah, it's and even more. And I think Twitter actually had more shares. I don't know about Instagram. There was a lot on Instagram, but that is a lot of people in support of this campaign, and that's awesome.
It is. It truly is, and I think that audiences realize that we need something new. We're tired of seeing the same regurgitated things over and over. We want to see creativity again. We want to see something new just come into our living rooms and bring us together where we can enjoy it as friends and family. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for that.
Well, you know, I totally agree. When it comes to TV or movies, I hate most TV. I don't watch TV a whole lot. There are some shows I watch, but it has to be exceptional. I don't want to watch something just because it's on, just to dull my time. You know, my time is, I consider it very precious, and if I'm going to sit and watch a TV show for 30 minutes or an hour or watch a two-hour movie, it has to be done well. It has to have, you know, good cinematography, good acting, good writing, good sound. If you're going to have effects, don't give me those real cheap, we did it in 10 minutes on a computer, app thingy. You know, give me something that is good, you know. And that's what we need more of, because more stuff is being processed so fast that they film it in a week and it's gone. There's a show. A lot of people like it, and I don't want to bash it, you know. But like, you take the show Face Off. It's a pretty cool show concept, but they have what, 7 seasons a year? Come on, we need quality over quantity.
Exactly. And you know, that's why I don't mind when some series takes longer than expected. You have fans out there that can't wait to see the next episode, and that's good. But also at the same time, I would rather the creator take their time and present something very well created versus something that's just slapped together. And it feels like that's what the mainstream's been doing. They've just been slapping it together.
Yeah. Come on, we the viewer are smarter. You know, we're not that dumb. You may think we are, but we're not. And that's what I like about this project. You know, when Stephen first started talking about doing it, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm gonna start talking to him about a few things, and he's like, oh yeah, of course. What are you talking about? Of course, we got to have it this certain way and this way and this way. And I was like, oh, it's a relief, because I posted this in one of the updates for the campaign, but almost everybody you meet wants to make a movie or make a TV show or something. It's like one of the cool things to do right now. And it's easily done with YouTube and this and that, but not everybody knows how. And that is why I like this project. You know, I was asking Steven some pretty far out questions about the technicalities of making a TV show. And he answered them to me like I was stupid for asking him, you know?
Oh! Eric.
Hey, well, it's true, you know. He's like, well, duh, of course we're going to do that. And of course we're going to have this. Why are you even asking that for?
So I probably didn't say, well, duh. I probably said, well, yeah, we will.
Well, I knew what you were thinking.
I would not offend the creator of Snow Snakes, no way.
Speaking of stupid TV shows, I probably haven't even told you about this, Stephen. One of the locations that would be amazing for Raiden is a place they call the Elk View here in Bethel County. It is a reclaimed coal mine. You could ride on this area for days and never see a person, a house, or anything. There's wild horses that live there. We're actually getting some Wild Horse Association going to make their headquarters here in Bethel County because of our horse herd. But beautiful place. No modern infrastructure to cloud it. It's great for filming. Very picturesque.
Wonderful.
Could you name that place once again, please? So if people want to search for images on it via Bing or Google, they can pull that up.
It's called the Elk View. I think it might actually be called the South Fork Elk View in Breathitt County, Kentucky.
Okay. Okay, for people who kind of want to get a good idea of what images might go along with the scenery for this book, feel free to either go to Bing or Google and type in those key terms, and that'll kind of give you a visual a little bit better.
And you might not really pull up too much information because, sadly, a lot of – I was looking on the Kentucky Film website for my hometown. It's kind of a nice little hometown, but we do not have pictures of our town on the Kentucky Film Office. Out of 163 cities, my county is not represented, and I don't know why. So you might not find the pictures, but it's beautiful. And I tell you, the perfect thing to search is for Red River Gorge and Natural Bridge, Kentucky. You'll see some truly breathtaking images there. Those two areas are famous worldwide.
And that will give you a real good feel for the kind of scenery that we're going to get. And we're talking production-wise about using aerial drones with cameras for some of the production elements of this. So, I mean, we will get some absolutely beautiful shots of the region Eric's talking about, because pretty much all of it will be shot in eastern Kentucky. So, I mean, this is right there in the area he's just told you about is what you're going to see in this TV pilot.
I'm certain that if you're filming in Kentucky, of course, Kentuckians will want to contribute to this even more, because not only is that their home state, but think about the revenue that this can bring in to the state. As far as an economic structure goes, anytime there is a project such as a movie or film that is done within an area, the economy does boost while that is happening and even after that has happened. So by contributing to this Kickstarter, it can contribute a great deal to the state of Kentucky, not only just to the geekdom of those who love that on TV, such as myself, but a lot of good things can come from this.
Well, you know, that is one of the reasons why I really like this project. I live in eastern Kentucky, and I can tell you, we are at the bottom of the economic barrel. You know, we had a big booming coal industry that is not so booming anymore, and the poverty here is immense. We need something, or we're not going to be able to make it. In 20 years, it's going to be awful. So if this project comes in, that brings a new opportunity. And it's so prime for the picking when it comes to films. You take New Zealand, where a lot of projects were filmed because much of the country is undeveloped. That's the same way with eastern Kentucky. There's acres and acres and acres and acres of land that is just so picturesque and beautiful and perfect for filming. You know, you get the Raiden project in here filming, get a TV series established. Who else is going to want to come in and kind of ride the Raiden coattails? So, I mean, it's perfect for eastern Kentucky and Kentucky in general, opening it up to more filmmakers.
And not meaning to interrupt this, but I think I should share a little bit more good news. From the moment that we started speaking about the $5 pledge, it looks like we have received a $5 pledge.
Awesome.
So
wonderful.
Whoever did that, thank you.
That helps. That absolutely helps.
But gentlemen,
no question.
I am going to let you both go back to it, and I'm going to return to the land of listening instead of the land of talking.
Thanks for joining us, Eric.
It was great having you on, and we hope you're enjoying the show.
Hey, as always.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night, Eric.
You too.
Oh, I know. I had to do the air raid siren when he came on, of course.
I'm like, oh, my Lord, that's the longest air raid siren I think I've ever heard.
It is. Probably have to find a shorter one, but it's a good one. And, yeah, we affectionately, he's definitely the colonel first and foremost, but we, those of us that know and love Eric, also affectionately call him the bomber. So, you know, the air raid siren fits perfect. Yeah, that's So we'll have to do that every time Eric Chade comes on.
I think I know the answer to this, but we are nearly $4,000 away from goal. How do you feel about that?
I feel good and a little anxious at the same time because I'm one of those people that doesn't relax until everything's there. I never assume anything and never count anything before it hatches. But that's not bad at all. And I think that, the pace that we've gone the last 2 days, we've got a good chance to close the gap. And it could be closed to hurry because, like I said, we had a big pledge today that took us, up a lot. I think we can definitely do this. I mean, there's no question. It could be a swarm of smaller pledges. You never know. So we will see. We will see.
All right. Well, I want to make sure that we get all the plugs in here possible. How can we contribute to this fundraiser? How can we find it? And just tell us where to go. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, websites, blogs.
Well, the easiest way to find it is probably on Kickstarter.com. Just search for Raiden Valkyrie TV Pilot, and that's R-A-Y-D-E-N, first word, second word, Valkyrie, like the Viking Valkyries, V-A-L-K-Y-R-I-E, and then TV Pilot, and our project will come right up. And we also have a website at RaidenValkyrie.com that you can go to. And on Facebook, you can find it at Facebook.com/RaidenValkyrie. And then on Twitter, she can be found at RaidenValkyrie. Just one word, no spaces in between. And so if you look at RaidenValkyrie or RaidenValkyrie on Facebook or RaidenValkyrie.com or on Kickstarter, Raiden Valkyrie TV Pilot. I mean, you'll be able to find your way to the main page, and then the button that we hope you pick is the Back This Project button, because that's the one where you make a pledge.
All right, and I know that I've shared this quite a bit on my Facebook and Twitter, so for people who are following me on Twitter, you can find where I've shared the Kickstarter under Alexander S. Brown, and then again on Facebook under Alexander Stephen Brown. It's also not hard to find on either source by typing in Seventh Star Press or simply Stephen Zimmer. And so these are sources that can pull it up for you very quickly for those who enjoy going through Twitter or Facebook. All right, well, we are working on nearing the 10-minute mark, and this is where I want to simply just give you free time and speak to the public about maybe some things that I didn't ask, and also perhaps you could elaborate on what we have in store for us as far as the Heart of a Lion series continues.
Well, as far as this project goes, I mean, it's got a heart to it. I mean, it's coming to a region that really needs it, and you spoke to somebody that can speak directly from experience because he lives there. I mean, Eric can tell you point blank that, I'm not kidding when I say, this is a region that really could use the positive energy that a TV pilot and potential TV series could lead to, but this is a seed. This is a foundation. It's not a one-off project. I mean, we are looking at doing a lot of things, a lot of projects, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, not just with Raiden, but with other properties that our press is involved with. And we're not asking people just to, do a one-time thing. I mean, we're asking you to help us start something that has a very long-term kind of vision, a very extensive kind of vision. And, and this one is the logical one to start with because, of what we know, and we know, in terms of the team we can put together, I know the content in and out, obviously, being the writer of Raiden, and, we know the locations, we know our state. I mean, we will deliver a solid TV pilot if people back us. I mean, that's, I mean, it can't get more straightforward than that. I mean, if we are backed, we will deliver a very, very good project. And like I said, I don't have any commitments from Netflix or Stars or anybody like that yet. So I can't guarantee what happens after that point. But I think that anybody that comes to the premiere of this TV pilot will be very proud to have been involved with this. And I do think it has a good shot at catching some eyes and maybe, you know, taking flight towards something else. But I think it will definitely show what we're capable of, and it will be good for this region. It will be good for so many individuals. I mean, so many. And you can browse their indie spotlights and various updates on the Kickstarter page and see, you know, the kind of people we're talking about. I mean, just phenomenal people. I mean, you know, Emmy-winning camera operator Stephen Kohler. I mean, we've got, you know, a guy that just got done doing a lot of production management work for the Monster Jam tour thing, Casey Tackett. I mean, we've got, I mean, like I said, you know, we've got great technical people, great crew people. I mean, I've already mentioned, you know, Sven and all them. We've got artists like Jerome Sayers and Glenn Porzig and Artemis Johnson that are just phenomenally talented artists have been involved in this project. And it's just, I mean, I could go on for hours about, I mean, like I said, just the great folks that we are pulling together for this. And you know, we just need a little nudge. You know, we aren't in a situation where we have wealthy uncles, and we aren't people with deep pockets. And, you know, but we're putting our own, we are putting our own resource in it beyond that, beyond what we're asking for. We are. And we are, you know, 100% committed to seeing this through, and it's definitely a project that needs to be done. And I can't feel like I couldn't feel more passionately about a project to do about this. I mean, this one means more to me personally. It's more the most important project I have ever taken on, and so, you know, I want to be unleashed on this one more than I can say in words. And it's something I really, really, really have a fire for, and I will sacrifice. I'll work harder than anybody on this project to make sure that this thing, you know, delivers, and in all phases. I mean, production, in marketing, in publicity, in business. I mean, I will go to every end to make sure this thing succeeds. And all we need is a little nudge from the public and a little faith. And there's not too much more to go, and you know, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, as someone who is not only your friend but is also published by you, I hope that this does happen, because not only is it something that I feel could be good for the fandom of this type of genre, but it can also be good to go on and get the independence known of creativity once again, versus us having just the regurgitations of remakes and sequels, so on and so forth. And this is something that I hope you can break through on, because it's time for it to happen.
Well, thank you. I actually agree with you. I can't take issue with anything you've said. I'm 100% on the same page. But, yeah, I think it can be a really special project, and I would not have embarked on it otherwise. And, you know, some things are not in my control. I mean, it's definitely up to the public to show faith in it, but, you know, we're so close, and I just hope a few people nudge over and help us do this, because yeah, we got the heart. We can do it.
Have the heart of a lion.
Ah, yeah, well, we're all about that. We are all about that.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, it looks like we just got another pledge for $35.
Wow. Well, thank you to whomever that might have been. Yeah, you are definitely helping the case, for sure. And I will represent you 150% as we move forward. And
all right,
wow,
well,
that's cool. That definitely has a positive end of the show there.
Yeah. And, you know, the night's not over. It's not over by any means. And I'm going to continue doing my job of telling people, hey, if you have $5, please contribute $5. Please. I kind of feel like I ought to start doing like a gospel show or something to raise money or whatnot.
Alex is going to go rob a convenience store and donate $4,000 right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Public doesn't even know that. All right.
Just kidding.
As we're drawing on the last few minutes of the show, I just want to thank everybody for listening, especially with the show being as spontaneous as what it was. We're going to continue posting links to this on social media so that people can understand what to expect from this Kickstarter, and also to enlighten them on how Kickstarters work. Whoever is listening to this, please do us a favor. After you listen, please share this on your social media, and feel free to do it frequently throughout the night and even in the morning. Every share helps. Even if you can't contribute money, just simply hit share, and that will do the work on its own.
Yes, and I definitely would like to thank, again, our core group, the ones that, like I said, I kind of power with every day, like Eric Jude and Frank Hall and Kylie Jude and Jennifer Malone Wright. And I also want to thank Julie Fink, who, like I said, is also a member of our team, who's also, gone to the plate for us many times over in terms of promoting this project and helping us with spreading awareness. And she has been just awesome. And we've definitely got a team for the future. I mean, beyond this project. So, it's kind of neat. It's kind of a team has formed. So, I definitely want to thank them very, very much. And then everybody has been sharing and posting and all of our backers.
All right. Well, with that said, I believe we're going to go in and wrap up before this hangs up on us. And once again, thank you, everybody. And thank you, Stephen Zimmer, for doing everything that you do, not only with this project and what you want to contribute to the arts community, but thank you for everything that you do for everyone else. A lot of times you put yourself last to take care of those that you care about and those who have been under you working as authors. So you've put yourself last on quite a few categories. And thank you for that.
You are most welcome, man. Most welcome.
All right, world. On that, we're signing off, and we hope you have a great night.
Good night, buddy.
All right, good night.